Welcome to Manufacturing Revival Radio, brought to you by Assembly Magazine. Assembly Magazine educates suppliers, buyers, and users of assembly equipment in manufacturing plants to connect, learn, share, and explore all things assembly. This special edition of Manufacturing Revival is coming to you live from the floor of the Assembly Show in Rosemont, Illinois. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
Good afternoon. You are with Todd and Todd, live from Chicago at the Assembly Show, Manufacturing Revival Radio on location. Todd, we've talked to a lot of amazing organizations. I suspect this next guest will be no different.
Yeah, it's not at all different. In fact, they're going to talk about a few things that I spent a good chunk of my life in. So it's going to be interesting to see the advances since back in the day when I was doing this.
Back in the old days. Yeah, well, these are conversation pieces that we've not had at the show. So this should be a fascinating conversation. Say hello to Dan McKiernan. He's the president of E-Flex Systems. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thank you, Todd. Todd, pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you. We're also joined by George Jewell, the vice president of E-Flex Systems. Welcome, George.
Thank you.
Dan, give us a quick 10,000-foot view of E-Flex Systems. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Sure. Basically, we're a software company that's evolved out of a control engineer. So our specialties have come up from the understanding of discrete manufacturing up into the software environment and upwards towards the IT environment. We've been around for about 22 years. Our original name, our legal name, is still Elite Engineering. I wanted to say that in case somebody doesn't know that we really recently filed a DBA doing business as E-Flex Systems for branding and awareness marketing. We have a cross-section of software engineers, controls engineers, and project managers that we use to execute our systems for our customers. Our systems are installed globally. General Motors in particular uses them on all their powertrain assembly for engines and transmissions globally.
George, just before the show, we were talking about manufacturing flexibility, and that can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Give us your definition.
We've ran into that quite a bit in trying to define flexibility when we're working with our plant floor and our system we provide for our customers. And basically, flexibility can be, really when you look at it at its core, it could be an empty PLC or a blank piece of paper as far as, you know, being able to create anything from that for the plant floor. What we've determined is that having some type of standard, of course, around that and then defining those standards, well, supplements us or helps us to basically provide it the software and controls architecture basically to give us this a true flexibility in the plant floor line. So these standards facilitate basically a method of being able to give us some very quick flexibility and changing market needs for our customers.
All right. Well, we're coming to you live from the Assembly Show, and we're speaking with Dan McKiernan and George Jewell of E-Flex Systems. Dan, talk to us about how technology can support lean transformation efforts. I'd be curious to know your take on that.
Yeah. Well, we pride ourselves in helping our customers leverage technology to continue their lean efforts. I think, I'm not sure I can say officially, but it's my impression that it's more of a Western culture when we adopt the lean principles from the Japanese, that the Japanese tend to take the approach to minimize technology, look at it the most simplistic way to refine their process. And that is a honorable and best, probably ultimately the right way to take it. But I think we here in the West, maybe not everywhere else, tend to say, okay, they've taking that approach to its limits, and they're starting to see diminishing returns on that effort. And we think we're bringing technology into that equation, not with too much technology, but the correct amount of technology to take that lean initiative to the next level, to the next step. And it's kind of some of the areas that we think we've been successful in.
So I just want to clarify that, Dan, that the wheelhouse for you would be a customer that's had a lean initiative going on for some period of time, has hit that diminishing returns, or give us a fuller picture of a scenario of a manufacturing organization that can best take advantage of what E-Flex has to offer.
Maybe George can help me with that one a little better.
Yeah, I think that in general, lean hasn't really been associated with any kind of technology. It's more of a process type thing, a people process type thing. But I think as you work through those lean efforts, you find you do run into some kind of bottleneck, and we're finding that having the reporting capability and the flexibility in the technology you offer as far as ability to change manufacturing lines. It really kind of pushes you to that next level, so you can quickly identify constraints for the line. You can quickly identify improvement and measure improvement for that line. And we think that goes hand in hand with any kind of lean efforts, you know, for the plant floor. And I guess the days of going out on the line and measuring maybe 10 parts and kind of trying to get an idea of where you really are in your change or kind of measuring what change impact you had for it, or that is are gone. And we're seeing that with our systems. For example, we collect data for every task within the station. We collect cycle times for each task as well. And with that flexibility baked into it, in other words, when we can move tasks from station to station, we also then gather the data for that immediately. We don't have any kind of programming change that are required in the PLC or the HMIs in order to accomplish that. So we think that having that transparency, having that flexibility in the line really can push them to that next level and getting optimizing their solutions for the plant floor.
Well, just taking that one step further, one of the challenges I've always seen is I've got a bunch of folks down on the plant floor who are expert. They really know what they're doing. They're very good at what they're doing. I can say the exact same thing about the IT staff.
Mm-hmm.
They're in there. They know what they're doing. They're very good at what they're doing. So you got two groups of folks very good at what they're doing. They don't always communicate all that well. Talk about how eFlex helps those two groups just communicate their requirements and needs.
As Dan mentioned earlier, we're kind of caught in the middle. It's the nature of our company to be doing both sides of this. We do the PLC side and we do the IT side. And we didn't want to separate those two things because we felt they're very intertwined. And as a software provider for plant floor systems, we're looking at basically, you know, supplementing both of those by doing the PLC side of it too. So with that, we're able to provide this flexibility we talked about, where we move things around on the plant floor and be able to get that information more quickly from those PLCs. If you understand the PLCs, I think you have a better chance at getting this stuff in real time. And we're doing this stuff in sub-second time and millisecond time, as a matter of fact, in some cases, where if you look at traditional IT systems, you're looking at a 4 or 5 second delays, and that means a lot of parts in the line. Yeah. And we think we solved that problem with our products.
Dan, eFlex is exhibiting here, and as I understand it, you're delivering a presentation here. Why? Why does an organization such as eFlex invest time, energy, and treasure in an event like this?
This has been a fantastic venue for us. It targets exactly our audience for what we've been trying to work with. We've advertised in the magazine and gotten good success from that. But when this came back, we jumped right on. And we've re-upped already for next year. And there's been no better way to get out our message. And when they offer many different venues to do that for us, and this theater presentation is going to be one of those that we're going to be doing tomorrow. And we're going to talk about one of the products that's our vision image management storage product. It's something that we can get across in the time allotted, so it's nice, easy subject matter to go over, and with available time. We've done some other webinars with Assembly Magazine that have gone very well on some similar subjects. So tomorrow, I just set that up, and it looks like it's going to be a success.
Okay, we don't have enough time to hear the whole story, but give us a little bit of a preview. You say vision systems, you get my attention. That
sure
is so cool.
With the increased use of vision inspection systems being more and more in assembly, an easy fix to a problem is to put a camera on it and airproof that to make sure that you don't have a quality spill. But those images have value, not just the pass-fail in station, but the image itself has a value. When you have a lot of these cameras producing images throughout your manufacturing process, you have to do something with them. And once you've put them in a repository, you need to be able to retrieve those in a reasonably fast way. So you can contain a possible quality spill, or you can defend yourself against a warranty claim. So we have an architecture that's evolved. We're on our fourth version of that. At the heart of it is it's a large storage system with our software in there management. All the cameras FTP their images to us at the end of cycle. We strip off the metadata that might be coming onto that, put that into the database for analytics, and we also take a URL and put that in the database so that you can quickly find that image with a query, in a search query. And then the image itself is stored in mass memory. The ability to retrieve these images is anything that's embedded in the naming convention of that. And there's a lot more involved in this, but one of the things that the systems that fall short today are with just maybe regional PCs on the floor that are capturing these images and storing them is the fact that they're distributed, number one. Number two, if you fill a folder, a Windows folder, to the point of thousands or tens of thousands of any file size, they become unbrowsable and you can't get to them. And when you send images across FTP, it's kind of an open loop system. It's just like throwing it over the wall, and you don't know if the other system received it. And we've built in feedback loops so that we can enunciate if critical images aren't being archived. So a lot of lessons learned have been baked into this version 4, and pretty much that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, in a little bit of a use case of a customer that's got it installed on a large scale.
That house is going to be packed for that application.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating. Well, gentlemen, I hate to say it, but we're about out of time. George, before I let you guys go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about eFlex Systems?
We're in Rochester Hills. Stop by our booth. We're at booth 719, and we'll be happy to pass out any information or way to contact us, or we'll come there anyway. Doesn't matter.
Our website's eFlexSystems.com.
Good. All right. George Jewell, the Vice President, and Dan McKiernan, the President of eFlex Systems. Gentlemen, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Well, that wraps this segment. On behalf of our guests, George Jewell and Dan McKiernan, my co-host Todd Youngblood, everyone at Assembly Magazine, I'm Todd Schneck. This has been Manufacturing Revival Radio, broadcasting direct from the Assembly Show. We'll be right back.